Hey, it's Final Boss Friday. Not really, because The Rock's not going to be on SmackDown tonight, but it is a Friday, and it's Rumor Innuendo, and I am here with Robert Karpolis, WWE Creative underscore ish. Robert, TGIF to you, man.
Happy Friday. Happy start to your weekend. More importantly, happy Florida Gator Friday. Got my shirt on. It's covered by the microphone for the most part, but the NCAA March Madness tournament kicked off yesterday. The Gators play today at 4:20 p.m. No. That is not a RVD plug. The Gators playing Colorado. So if they win, we're going to have a great show on Monday. If they lose, I will still be sobbing. But regardless of whether or not I feel blue, our guest on Monday sure as hell is going to feel blue, because we will be joined by the one and only ECW legend, Blue Meanie. Oh, he put the graphic up. Where am I? I'm on the side. I'm tilted on the side. Blue Meanie going to be on here on Monday. You can take that down. I'm
okay.
sick of getting blocked off there. So a couple of comments here in the section. Antonio Santos says, happy Friday for Dominic. Let's go Buffalo. Okay.
Why Buffalo?
That's why I'm equally as baffled. Christopher Santos says, happy Friday, fellow rumorites. Let's weekend. Mike Malaro, glad to spend Friday with everyone. Inject that sweet, sweet Billy in the CW news right into my veins. And Mike Weiss, who says Robert's kayfabe shirt is getting its monthly wash. Peek behind the curtain, Mike. I own three of those suckers that get put through the rotation. And if you want one of those great kayfabe shirts, they're available at Pro Wrestling Tees. I just think it's a great design shirt. I'm a big fan of that. But I'm a big fan of all the stuff we're going to be talking about today, Dom. So what do we have on tap?
Yeah, we got a heck of a lineup. Obviously, we'll be talking Friday Night SmackDown tonight and what's to entail on there. Plus, we're going to cover a little bit of some Bloodsport information that Josh Barnett dropped. Whether it's going to happen or not remains to be seen. But a little update on Bray's Hall of Fame induction. Is it possibly delayed? That's what it might sound like. We'll talk about LA Knight. Was he pushed too hard too early? He talked about that. And then Cena make a little bit more WrestleMania teases, plus John Laurinaitis. But yeah, well, let's start off with SmackDown. No Rock this week, but we will finally have a confrontation one-on-one, supposedly, according to the advocate Paul Heyman. It will be one-on-one. Cody Rhodes confronts Roman Reigns. Robert, what do you expect from this confrontation? What do you hope Cody conveys? What do you hope Roman gets across?
Is it officially fully confirmed that Rock is not going to be at SmackDown?
I guess it's not, but he's not advertised like he has been.
I'm curious. I thought Rock was making a point of saying he was going to be at every show for the remainder of the year, but that remains to be seen. We know that the confrontation between Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes is built on this idea that it is one-on-one. It's just the two of them. And WWE has this challenge right now where they are trying very hard to tell two different WrestleMania stories for Cody and Roman. You're building this tag title match. You're building this one-on-one contest. And the one-on-one match, the Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes match, is the signature main event for WrestleMania. So what this story needs to be about here, it needs to basically say, regardless of the outcome of the tag match, regardless of whether or not it's a Bloodline rules match or a straight-up match, it's man against man with one goal, which is for someone to either retain or win the Universal title. They need to make this deeply personal. They need to make this the single focus of WrestleMania. That is the purpose of this this confrontation. The other factor is by saying no one else is going to interfere. And then Jey Uso, who made a point of saying, hey, I'm still going to show up to have your back. Are we going to see Jay and Jimmy have an interaction? Is Solo going to be a part of that? Is it going to be Cody who inadvertently breaks his word by Jey Uso interfering? So a lot of fun questions going into this. My hope is Cody and Roman can remain focused on their one-on-one story, and The Rock is not going to necessarily be this spectra hanging over the proceedings.
Yeah, I think they really need to hammer home the point of how much the title is important in this situation and get that hammered home. I think it does create a lot of fun elements by Paul Heyman just being untrustworthy. He says there's not going to be anybody interfering, but you know the Bloodline and you know their motto, basically.
I will not stand for you besmirching the good name of Paul Heyman.
Well, you know, Philly will make the rebound for that when he gets inducted. But I did want to ask you too, Robert, what do you think Roman really needs to do in order to elevate himself a little bit more? Because arguably, he's kind of been the third person in this whole role of everything.
He's been the third man. He's kind of been the third wheel a little bit. So that's why I think his promo needs to be, it doesn't matter what the rules are. It doesn't matter what the kind of match is. It can be one-on-one. It can be three-on-one with you having three people, me having one person. I'm going to win no matter what. He needs to have that cockiness, that swagger, that underlying insecurity that has made the Tribal Chief character work. Heyman has talked about this before. Unlike a lot of other wrestlers, you have the catchphrase that Roman Reigns has, this acknowledge me catchphrase, is him asking the audience for something, whereas other catchphrases are demanding. So there's a constant insecurity factor with Roman, and that has played even further with this whole Rock situation.
Do you think he will take some subtle digs at the Rock if they say he's not there? Indeed not.
Sorry, hold on. I'm going to do a Jim Ross thing. Who are we talking about, pronoun boy?
Roman.
Yeah, I think Roman will remind him. It's like, hey, it doesn't really matter what happens night one. It doesn't matter if Rock is there, if the Bloodline is there. It's me, and I am more than enough. No one has been able to beat me for 3 years, so there's no reason to make me think that you are going to beat me in this situation. So I think that and that alone is probably the driving force for that promo.
Absolutely. No doubt about it, though. SmackDown right now is tune-in television. Big Andrew WH or Andrew H says, Wiseman, get it right, Dom. Journalistic integrity and all. I called him the Advocate. That's a dated reference at this point. Hey, coming up, though, also on SmackDown, Rey Mysterio in action, going up against Santos Escobar one-on-one. Imagine this is probably going to lead to a little bit more of a faction fight at WrestleMania. Robert, what do you think of this match and what that entails tonight?
Yeah, I mean, this was one of the options for a singles match at Mania, or if this is what's going to lead to a multi-man match, I think we need to see where the tag tournament settles down, which I don't have the brain power to be able to figure out how all of that is working. But Rey Mysterio, Santos Escobar is a big match for free television for SmackDown going into WrestleMania. They know that they are up against the NCAA tournament, so you need to advertise as much as possible. Yes, the Roman Cody face-off is key, and that's something that you can save till the end of the show and potentially tease it. But if you're opening with Rey Mysterio, Santos Escobar, boy, that's immediate appointment television as far as WWE is concerned.
Yeah, especially Rey Mysterio just being back and still having the ability to do what he does is pretty darn cool. And it's, I always just like the engaging aspect too of the LWO logo and stuff like that. I think it's a cool element.
Yeah, it's I like it because the original hot take here, mm-hmm. not really a hot take, the LWO sucked when it was in WCW. It was played in a lot of ways for laughs. They weren't really given an opportunity to get over on anybody. They weren't allowed to be a legitimate threat or a force. It was just sort of the WCW brain trust putting a bunch of Latin wrestlers together and just saying, you're now going to be in the LWO. We don't have to really kind of worry about you otherwise, and you do your own thing. The revised LWO, which has sold an insane amount of shirts, by the way, since apparently we're talking a lot about merchandise today, right. They do feel like an important part of television. It's been a nice way to introduce Carlito. It's been a nice way to spin off the Santos Escobar stories. So I'm excited to see Rey and Santos one-on-one. I don't know how fully healed Rey Mysterio is, but honestly, I don't think we've seen a healthy Rey Mysterio since 98.
Probably not. Nope. Well, Robert, you mentioned it earlier, the intriguing tag team tournament that's still going on SmackDown here. We got the OC taking on Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. And then in addition to that, we also have the Street
Profits. What is with you and appropriating accents for different cultures?
I took a dialect class when I was at Clarion. So
speaking of dialect, I have to point this out because somebody made a comment on this. You're forgetting one of the W's whenever you say WWE.
Do I just run it forward?
You just say WE. Or like, yes. Someone pointed it out. And they're like, why does he do that? I'm like, I said honest, I had a previous co-host that couldn't say Chavo. You apparently can't say WWE. Nobody can pronounce my name. It's just a recurring theme here on Rumor
Takeshita.
And Innuendo.
Can't say Takeshita.
You said it right.
I know. I really had to think about it, though. I had to.
And you know, and I'm going to keep that same momentum going when we get to AEW Dynasty.
Oh boy!
See,
there you go. You got,
got it.
It.
I got it. I had to think about it because I have to remember it's the same thing as what the MLW stable was.
Oh yes, it was. That's true. Exactly. So, OC, what do you think is going to happen? Who's going to advance here? Street Profits and AOP. Those also seem like another faction fight, maybe for Mania. So maybe they'll cancel each other out at some point. But what are you thinking there, Robert?
Can't have the OC. I can't see him having the OC win just because their story seems to be with AJ Styles and AJ distancing himself from that group. And if that group starts finding success without AJ, then what's AJ's gripe? Like his anger about them needs to continue. Waller and Theory have not found a home yet for Mania. I still think they'll probably wind up in something potentially with John Cena, but I can see them being plugged into the ladder match. It's kind of a good, convenient catch-all for SmackDown. There's still like 13 to 17 more rounds of the SmackDown tournament before the OC and Theory and Waller. Street Profits AOP, sort of the same version of what we talked about with the LWO and Legado del Fantasma. Like, I get we're using this match to further advance the storylines that they've got. I guess there's another round after. Remind me again, New Catch Republic qualified for the next round of the tournament, right, as did Legado, yes, del Fantasma. Mm-hmm. So that means you still could wind up with New Catch Republic in that one spot. And instead of Pretty Deadly, who I thought was going to be in there, it'd be Waller in Theory, because maybe they don't have something else for them. But and then you can still do Street Profits and AOP as part of one match. I'm doing a lot of hand gestures today. I don't know why. And then on the other hand, Legado and LWO. I blame you. It's a lot of hand gestures. It's a lot of movements. It's a lot of distractions here. And guys, if you want to make sure that when you're in bed with your lady, she's not distracted, may we recommend our friends at Blue Chew. There were two ways I could have taken wild hand gestures to tie to Blue Chew. This is the one I went with. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Visit BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. Guys, we know WrestleMania is coming up. You're going to want to make sure that you're celebrating night one and night two properly. So you want to go to BlueChew.com right now and get your hands on that stuff, because BlueChew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Rumor at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Rumor, to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode of Rumor and Innuendo.
Yes, thank you, Blue Chew.
Woo!
Man, well, blue is a different color than red, and red is the color of blood. We're talking about
what the hell kind of transition are you doing here, man?
We're talking blood sport, Robert.
Blood sport. There was about a 10-second window there where I had no, like, the show went off the rails and I had no idea what was going on. I'm just here for the ride, guys. I go wherever Dom tells me. Blood sport. Yes.
Blood sport. Yes. Josh Barnett was speaking with Under the Ring, which is a affiliate of USA Today, I believe. But he kind of mentioned some names that he talked to about being a part of Bloodsport 10, which Shayna Baszler is a part of, facing Masha Slamovic. So, but here we go. One of the quotes he said, I've spoken to CM Punk. It would be great to have Chad Gable or Bron Breakker or any number of people with amateur backgrounds. Charlie Dempsey is out there showing catch as catch can. Those are some interesting names, especially CM Punk. Obviously, he would not compete, but what kind of personality would he have? Add to that element of that podcast or that event on WrestleMania, the GCW show. That'd be pretty interesting, Robert.
I don't know that Punk is necessarily going to show up at that event. I understand the idea of putting that name out there. Mm-hmm. Dempsey is an interesting one because Dempsey is someone that they have used elsewhere. They sent Dempsey over to Japan. It's part of that whole idea of these guys learning a bunch of different styles, a bunch of different places. Gable, I have a feeling, is going to find a home, way, shape, or form on Mania itself. So I don't see him being there. And Bron Breakker, putting him in an environment with lesser rules, not a situation I necessarily would be. I'd be terrified for other people. But yeah, I don't think they want to risk Bron Breakker necessarily getting hurt someplace else. We've talked about that before. Bron is someone that they have heavily invested in. They've spent a lot of time training him in NXT and getting him ready to go. And the little flurries we've seen of him on SmackDown, he already feels like a big deal. So I don't really want to see that momentum get stymied in any way, shape, or form. That's your Friday SAT word right there, by an injury at a non-WWE event.
Yeah, and I could foresee them, if they eventually do the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, Bron Breakker being the winner of that, you know, and you have him positioned already in a good spot then for WrestleMania, nonetheless then. He also mentioned, too, a little AEW crossover, too. He teased this. I've spoken with Malakai Black a few times about coming into Bloodsport. There is a whole wealth of talent out there that could be great. Miro from AEW, maybe someone like him would be a good fit. That would be pretty wild. Do you think that is a possibility, or do you think WWE kind of made the stipulation like, hey, we're giving you a WWE, let's not have
that. Let's try that again, Dom. The
WWE.
There it is. See, now you hear it. Now you hear it. You can't unhear it. You can't. I didn't hear it before, and then someone mentioned it, and it's like you can't unring that bell.
You can't. Yeah.
So now it's all I hear.
Now I'm going to be more conscientious of it. Maybe.
Look at you, conscientious. Big. It's Big Word Friday here, guys. We're going to help you get great SAT scores. I know SAT scores now back being accepted by universities all across the country here in the United States. If you're listening to us, the rest of the world, you don't know what the hell we're talking about. We're okay with that because what we're talking about is Bloodsport. Do I think that WWE is going to allow their talent to be on the same show as AEW stars? No. I think TNA, they seem to have some sort of a loose working relationship, so they're okay with that. I do not at all see a situation in which they're going to be comfortable with AEW talent, even if it's a guy like Malakai Black, who I suspect by end of 2024 is probably going to be back in good graces in Stamford.
Yeah, yeah. I think Barnett's trying to create a little buzz for already a good show.
Working. We're talking more about that than we are Billy and the CW. Right. And because of that's why they got bumped today, guys. We would have talked about Billy and the CW news. Unfortunately, Josh Barnett sucking up all the oxygen. He's taking all the air, Dom. So this is where we're at. Where are we moving to next? I know there's a lot of stuff we didn't cover yesterday that we shifted over to this episode.
Yeah. Well, actually, because there was even more news that kind of broke today a little bit. Bray Wyatt's Hall of Fame induction hasn't been delayed, according to the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Dave Meltzer wrote it had something to do with the decision not to induct Wyatt into the Hall of Fame this year, meaning the documentary that's coming out. Being Immortal, I believe it's called, right? That this year they were doing the big documentary for him, and they would induct him later. Robert, what do you think of that decision to potentially delay Bray being inducted this year, maybe next year, or pick a different time, possibly even?
A little surprised, just because I feel like it would have been okay to be able to do that here, given that you are inducting a big name in Philly with Paul Heyman, a big in-person appearance. Maybe it's because they're inducting Ali, who has already passed. They don't want to do too many posthumous inductions. I don't know. It does feel odd because you are inducting Mike Rotunda this year. It seemed like that was the reasoning why you were putting US Express in the Hall of Fame, to be able to put Bray in there. It would have helped continue to boost the documentary. I guess they feel the documentary in and of itself is the way to honor Bray Wyatt right now, and then we can revisit it in 1 to 2 years down the road. I don't know. I feel like this is the time to induct him. I think that visual in the stadium would look very, very cool. I don't know that waiting until Mania next year, which seems to be rumored to be in Minnesota, is a stronger connection for Bray, but I don't know. I haven't seen any further news about if there's going to be another inductee or not into the Hall of Fame, but it's Meltzer. Meltzer has proven this year, for whatever reason, that he is more wrong than normal.
Yeah, he's kind of hit some strikes more than some doubles, at least. it's interesting. How would you feel, though, if they did wait and made him just one solo induction at SummerSlam? Would that be pretty significant there, you think?
I like the Hall of Fame being saved for Mania. I think when you start to do inductions in other locations, it waters it down. It then becomes a commodity that they can move to do for the Saudi show. And I don't want that. Like, I can see them saying, oh, here's a draw. We're going to do a Hall of Fame induction here. Like, keep it to Mania. It's something special for Mania weekend. It's something that always feels to some degree important. This year, more than most, you're getting a lot of unique names. It's cool to see Bull Nakano back in the mix. And I think under that Triple H umbrella, he's giving a lot more consideration to people who genuinely do belong in the Hall versus what the most marketable decision is.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. Did LA Knight make a good point on Busted Open Radio? He talked about the possibility of being pushed too hard, too soon. And he was asked about that. Bully Ray asked him, and LA Knight said there's so many different ways to look at that. Maybe there was a little too far of a push, a little too fast, and that's not to look a gift horse in the mouth, but a little bit of a steady build going into a championship match or something like that. As far as going for the United States Championship or the Intercontinental Championship or something like that, but jumping straight into the WWE Championship back at Crown Jewel was a little fast to where I almost was worried it might make people go, ah, they're not going to do this. They're not going to shove them down our throats like this, are they? Because that is the potential. At the same time, right now, I think I'm in a damn good spot. I don't know if I'm selling myself short so much as I'm just cautiously optimistic. Robert, what do you think of those comments? Was LA Knight pushed a little too quick? Did that kind of stifle him a little bit? Or where do you see the lay of the land on that?
I think in some regards, LA Knight stifled himself a little bit. He had a lot of hype. He had a lot of build that was organic by the audience. And that's the kind of thing that in the Vince McMahon era, they would have squashed. They would have immediately put an end to that. We saw that with Zack Ryder. You know, Zack Ryder was someone who built a groundswell by being one of the first people to capitalize on social media, doing the Z True Long Island stories, getting people to push for them to release a t-shirt, and it was the ugliest t-shirt of all time. And people were buying it in droves where they were sort of forced to use them, and they immediately, you know, cut his water off. WWE with LA Knight, he's a good talker. He's definitely entertaining on the microphone. In ring, he's fine. And what Hunter did was he's kind of said like he may not be 100% on board with LA Knight. His good friend Kevin Nash, whose podcast is part of the Ad Free Shows Network.
Oh, not anymore. It's not.
It is no longer part of the Ad Free Shows Network. You're gone, Nash. So I can't keep track, man. You know what it is? Because I know that you do some work on it. So I can't forget that you do stuff outside of the Ad Free Shows realm. I take that back, Kev. We love you here. Don't tear quad. But damn it, it was in the middle of my point. Oh, my point was Hunter, rather than just burying him, said, we're going to give him a chance. We're going to see what happens. They did put him in a world title match, a sink or swim situation, because if the water was really that hot and the lightning was really about to strike and they caught something here, let's roll with it. If it wasn't, you can always take a step back like they have now and see how things go. I think the excitement over making LA Knight a thing eclipsed the excitement for LA Knight. And all of a sudden the audience was like, we want the Snyder Cut. We want the Snyder Cut. We want the Snyder Cut. And then they get it and they're like, okay, but now we don't have what else to complain about. So he gave them LA Knight, and LA Knight is self-aware enough that, yeah, there's the possibility of overexposure, but settling into a feud with AJ Styles, being able to have a big match at Mania, The AJ Styles slot at Mania in a lot of people's eyes is similar to the Undertaker slot, being the guy that gets to go up against AJ since he doesn't have that many more Manias to go, has value. And if Knight and Styles can have a great match, it'll hopefully change some hearts and minds about LA Knight. I know I'll be watching.
Yeah, it should be a pretty, like, you know, as of now, it's kind of an undersold match. But like once that event starts going down, and it could stand out in a lot of ways. So it could be a good opportunity for LA Knight, and, you know, just treading water for the most part at some point, you know.
There's a comment here from Daniel Price who says Eli Drake, which is LA Knight's prior in-ring name, worked well in TNA, even NWA. LA Knight is hit and miss. He can pop a crowd, but they're not willing to make him the guy because it could go south and they'd be up a creek. I think that, he has a great catchphrase. People like doing the They like doing the chanting along with him. We've seen that with other folks. His in-ring work is solid, but not spectacular. And there isn't that overall hunger that, my God, we really need to see it week in, week out. They're chanting for him all the time. I just think they like certain elements. And in a place like TNA or in a place like NWA, he really had a chance to shine as a big fish in a small pond.
Right, right. You know, and two, it's like when you have the actual Rock there and he mirrors some of the Rock's tendencies, it's kind of a little tough to kind of get over, I think. A little tough. All right. Cena made some teases this week on his Instagram. He posted a picture of every It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So teasing, obviously, WrestleMania there. But him and Kenny Omega have had a little back and forth, too. Fun back and forth with one another. Kenny posted a picture of himself in a dress, and then also he posted a picture of Cena and Ricky Stenicki too. So just a little Cena's having some fun. There's also added rumors too. Somebody actually did bring this up too in the chat. Sorry if you addressed this already. Rumor has it that Stone Cold, The Undertaker, and John Cena will make an appearance at WrestleMania. How do you guys feel they'll be used? That's a lot of big names. Obviously it's WrestleMania 40, but obviously you want those big names to feel big. Would they get lost in the shuffle with The Rock being there and everything like that? Or would it make it feel more significant, Robert, to have Cena, Stone Cold, and The Undertaker there too?
Oh, I think there's no way you can do Mania without Cena and Undertaker and Stone Cold in some capacity. I don't see them all necessarily wrestling. I've said I wouldn't be surprised if Cena had some sort of a short match. But you need to have Austin there. You need to have Taker there. You need to celebrate the 40 years of WrestleMania. I'm sure Hogan will make an appearance in some way, shape, or form, whether in person or on a video. But by billing this as WrestleMania 40, it's one of every 10 years. There's those iconic moments. We all unfortunately remember when it was Hogan, Rock, and Austin in the ring together at the Silverdome to kick it off. They like to be able to celebrate the history of the WWE. It's obviously more difficult than normal now because you can't acknowledge Vince McMahon. So being able to lean on those iconic stars of the past and have them go out there in some presentation, it makes total sense.
Yeah, I mean, being 40 years and such a significant wrestling city like Philadelphia, it does make a lot of sense. And yeah, always cool to see Stone Cold, always neat to see Undertaker and legends like that. So hey, Robert, we'll close out with this little tidbit about Johnny Laurinaitis, Johnny Ace, implicated in the Vince McMahon lawsuit by Janelle Grant, recently submitted a waiver of service, indicating that his awareness of the legal proceedings and his exemption from formal service. This paperwork was officially lodged with the United States District Court of Connecticut, basically meaning, hey, he's got 60 days until since March 15th. To acknowledge that he's got to be there. What do you think about this being involved with law and stuff?
Oh, good. We get to talk federal rules of civil procedure. There's nothing more exciting than civil procedure. My Civ Pro professor was an absolute lunatic. So he cut a heel promo better than most of the wrestlers I worked with. He would throw these temper tantrums with this very raspy voice, and they were amazing. He threw a coffee mug once.
That's in the middle of Gary Glenn Ross stuff right there.
He was like asking him, he's like, none of you know any of this. And he just threw a mug and threw us all out of class. So it's repressed memories that are coming up here right now. But that notwithstanding, yeah, this is Laurinaitis basically. So, sometimes the civil procedure, there's certain very strict rules that you have to follow in terms of the number of days of service and was it received properly. And if it wasn't, it's loopholes for you to be able to, not really truly circumvent, but you can really delay proceedings if you really wanted to. And every once in a while, since I know my buddy Adam is an attorney, he's going to be listening to this. Yes, you can win on a technicality because of stupid stuff like this. This is Laurinaitis waving that, saying, I am aware of this. I acknowledge this. I'm ready to go forward because I really feel like Laurinaitis' defense in this is going to be that he is every bit a victim in these proceedings, and try to throw his hands up and say, you know, I'm not culpable because it wasn't me.
Hey, I wasn't doing
nothing. I just did what I was told.
Hey, man.
which is, you know, it's a potential defense. But, you know, we'll see. But thankfully, I'm not John Laurinaitis' attorney. Thankfully, I don't have to work with Mr. Laurinaitis anymore. Instead, I get to work with the one and only Dominic D'Angelo. Dom, you work with a bunch of other folks. Where else can they see you?
Yeah, I work with Rob Van Dam. We just recorded the latest episode last night. Cover a lot of good ground, some interesting topics of current events and what he's been doing, WrestleMania season forthcoming, obviously, and all the stuff he's got going on. Very, very fun episode. In addition to that, we also just recorded yesterday Straight Talk with the Boss, Greg Gagne and Magnum TA. We cover lots of great stories on Wahoo McDaniel. It's such a, oh my gosh, some crazy wild stories about him. So fun. So if you guys like that, go to rvdtv.com to check out One of a Kind with RVD, and then go to Gagne and Magnum.com. Check out Straight Talk with the Boss, Greg Gagne and Magnum TA. And hey, Robert, we got some fun stuff cooking here on Rumor and Union. I know next week going to be a jam-packed week for sure.
It's going to be a jam-packed week, starting with Monday with the Blue Meanie, who's going to be joining us. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to all of you joining us every Monday through Friday, live at noon Eastern across a variety of different platforms, whether that is at SE Scoops, the WWE Creative underscore ISH Twitter account, Dominic D'Angelo Twitter account, Podcast Heat. Podcast Heat is who makes this show possible, as well as the Rumor and Innuendo and ad-free shows YouTube pages. Whew, we had a hell of a show here today, Dom. Hell of a show coming up on Monday. Hell of an afternoon planned for me, as I'll be watching my beloved Florida Gators hopefully advance against Colorado in the NCAA tournament. So on behalf of, it's just Dominic. I got nothing this week. That's I got fine. Nothing today. On behalf of this guy next to me, Dominic D'Angelo, who's doing the Gator Chomp. You won me over, man. On behalf of the incredible Dominic D'Angelo, I'm Robert Karpeles. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
Let's go, Gators.